A Weekend with Jason Dacey replay from Money FM 89.3.
It's Toto with Africa, one of the biggest songs from the 1980s. This is Money FM with me, Jason Dacey, alongside Neil Humphreys and our special guest today, Colette Wong, who is perhaps the biggest Toto fan that I have ever met. Mm. And she's a proud Singaporean who actually met the members of Toto at the start of March at a festival, a jazz festival in Jakarta. So before we get into the nitty-gritty of Toto, tell us about that meeting and what happened.
Well, do you know that there is the Java Jazz Festival, and it happens every year in Jakarta? It's been going on for some 20 years. And I only found out that this festival happens every year this year when a friend of mine told me that Toto was going to play. And it's a fabulous festival. It's a three-day festival. They have acts from all over the world come in, as well as local acts and acts from Asia. And tickets cost nothing. You know, cheapest chips. It's like $15 to go in. And you get great bands. So this year they had Toto. They had another lady called Her as one of the star acts. They had Sheila Majid. Do you remember Sheila Majid from Malaysia? She was there as well. Met her at the Java Jazz Fest. She's tiny. Yeah. She's like 4'11" or something like that. But just the most lovely, lovely lady. So it's a three-day a festival of just great music. You know, it's held in a convention center. So you walk in and there are rooms and convention halls and things like that, and all happening at the same time. You can choose who you want to watch. It's just fantastic. And, you know, flight to Jakarta from Singapore are inexpensive. Yeah, yeah. You know, it's very easy to get there. And the cost of these tickets are nothing. So to all music fans out there, all jazz fans, it's not just jazz music that they
well,
play.
Well, Toto's not jazz.
Not at all. It's a very eclectic a group of performers who perform at this festival.
So a bit of backstory. Jason said this week we're having Colette Wong on. I said, fantastic. And she's going to pick the you know, our pop culture segment. I said, even better. He said, it's Toto. I said, what? What, the Africa guys? The Africa guys, really? So my question to you is, why? Where did this start?
But I want to know first. I want to know first about them. You can tell us about why, but also tell us the meeting with them. How did that happen?
Oh, yes, the meeting. Okay, so a friend of mine told me about Toto and that, you know, they were going to be performing, and he knew where they were going to stay because most of the bands and performers stay at this one particular hotel. So immediately I was on hotels.com, booked my hotel room.
She was a groupie. You just sort of...
I was like a grouper. There wasn't much stalking, because the performers will just walk.
Of course.
The hotel is their home for 3 days and they're in the lobby. So you enter the lobby and, you know, you've got Nathan East, the bassist. He's there with his brother James and Steve Lukather, the singer and guitarist of Toto. He's just, you know, he's just loitering. They're just loitering. So you go up to them and say, hi.
So what did you say? What did you tell us about that?
Okay, I'm so shy. I'm such a shy person. So all I wanted was to say hello, shake their hands and get a picture, and that's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I can't say anything more because otherwise I'll go, you know, and I won't be able to form my words because I am a big fan.
But that's true. That is true. I think when you meet, we talked about this before, meeting heroes and meeting the people. I think the best way to get in and out of it is just to say, hello, I just wanted to say it's a pleasure to meet you.
That's right.
And I'm a big fan and your work has meant a lot to me.
Yes.
And I think that makes your day. On a much, much smaller scale, before anyone gets excited, once or twice that's happened to me. People have said to me, you know, your books are whatever, and it just makes you feel good.
Yeah.
You know,
it
just makes you feel good, and you thank them and move on. I think once you start going into slobbering dog mode.
That's right, which would have been me had I continued any kind of conversation with any of the band members, because Steve Porcaro was there. So I went up to him, and he's the brother of Jeff Porcaro, who is my all-time favorite of, you know, the Toto.
The songwriter and drummer.
Songwriter and drummer who is no longer with us. So Steve Porcaro means a lot to me because he is the brother of who I deem as my God.
Yeah.
And I went up to him. I went, Steve, may I take a picture, please? And he went, yeah, sure. And he started a conversation with
me. There you go.
He was just so lovely. The loveliest man alive on planet Earth. I tell you, these Porcaro brothers are just amazing.
He was happy someone recognised him.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. Come
they
on
are
in,
all
Toto.
Very good musicians.
So what
in
have we got?
Right.
We've got a teenage Colette Wong, a child teenage. Where does it start?
Okay, it was a 14-year-old Colette Wong, which is quite unusual because Toto are kind of a band of the 80s, right?
Yeah.
So at 14, this was 88, and Toto had already done their Toto 4 album. They were kind of a band of the past, more my brother's generation, your generation.
Yes,
So it all started when I came home one day. I walked in after school, turned on the TV, and turned it on to TV Tiga. At that time, TV Tiga played music videos as kind of a filler between their programs. And I turned it on, and there was Toto in a music video. I had never given them a second thought in my life until I saw this music video. For some reason, whether it was the song or whether it was the drummer, Jeff Porcaro, I was just immersed in this video. Mm. It must have been the song.
The song was
Stop Loving You.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it is now my favorite Toto song. But it was the drummer who really caught my attention.
Yeah.
There was a moment between me and him on this music video, and I fell madly in love with Jeff Porcaro in this video. I cannot explain how, why, but there was a moment, a bit like you and Beckham, I suppose.
The only difference is, I was watching the videos last night.
Yeah.
No disrespect to Toto, Beckham is a very handsome man. And I watched, there's a few tubby guys with moustaches in this video. So Colette's got...
It's the 80s,
unique
right?
Unique taste, I will say.
Okay, this guy didn't have curly hair or anything.
No, he didn't.
He looked very decent.
Yes.
And there was just something about him that I was drawn to. And that was my first exposure with Toto.
That's incredible because actually my first exposure to Toto was 1979. And I'm not a big Toto fan, as you know, but Hold the Line in 1979, when I was in my final year of secondary school in Sydney, Australia, was one of the biggest songs of our year. We had, the Knacks, My Sharona.
Sharona, yep.
Yeah, there were other songs as well. I think I Don't Like Mondays was one of the songs of that time and some other big hits as well. But Hold the Line was a song that was like an anthem throughout that year. It got to number eight throughout the top 40 for that year. I think it was the number eight biggest selling song or something in Australia for that 1979. Mm. So it's funny when you're a teenager, you were 14, yeah. I was 17 in 1979. It makes a massive impact on you because you just remember it and you're hearing that Hold the Line, and you're hearing the synthesizer and the guitar and all that. Just takes you right back.
Yeah.
And, when we were going to discuss this segment, I thought, well, I love, of course, Rosanna and Africa. They're good songs. But Hold the Line was the one song that really resonates with me.
Well, it's fascinating because my introduction to Toto was last night. No, it wasn't really.
We got to hang out more often, yes. Neil.
But Colette, I've got to tell you this because I did some research. I found your next holiday destination. Ooh. I'm not making this up. The Namib Desert, right, in southern Africa, 2,000 kilometres, this is absolutely true, it covers Angola, Namibia and South Africa, right? This year, I don't know if you know this, but this year, I think January, February, a Namibian German artist called Max Siedentopf set up an art installation called Toto Forever, right? Six speakers attached to an iPod that plays the song Africa Forever. It's got solar-powered batteries in the middle of the desert, and it just plays to the desert, Africa, forever, for all eternity.
That's the place Colette needs to go.
I am gobsmacked. Now, what was the purpose of this?
I don't know. He was just showing that it's...
He's dedicated the song.
I don't know. But yeah, it plays one song, nothing else. It just plays it on a loop using solar-powered batteries in the African desert, forever.
Is there anyone there to listen to it?
No, and he doesn't, and you don't know where it is. He hasn't said where it is. It could be 1,000 kilometres from anywhere. So I'm just thinking, if I was a lost traveller and I'm parched and I find this thing and I hear that, I'd probably kill myself. No. It's a good song. I'm just kidding. It's a good song.
What a bizarre installation.
I know. But no, artist. on a serious note, I wanted to ask you, Porcaro, right? Now, his drumming, I listened to Rosanna and I did think, that's catchy drumming. And it actually has a name. It's called the Halftime Shuffle Groove.
Hmm.
And apparently it's been imitated by a lot of famous drummers subsequently. And not only that, this guy, Porcaro has played with everybody.
Yes.
I don't know if you would know this, right? But this is just a selection. Porcaro played with Eric Clapton, George Benson, Joe Cocker, Christopher Cross, Dire Straits, David Gilmour, Elton John, Paul McCartney, Michael Jackson, Diana Ross, Bruce Springsteen, Pink Floyd, Barbara Streisand, Donna Summer. And that's only about half. And yet he died so young, like I think it was 38. I mean, what a legacy, though.
Oh my gosh. I know. I mean, so these guys, Toto, are all session musicians, and they're in demand. So you will get the likes of a Michael Jackson or Buzz Skaggs or, you know, famous bands or even soloists, and they'll go out and they'll look for musicians to play on their records. And these guys made their name as session musicians as well as part of the Toto band. But you bring up Jeff Porcaro, and I was just drawn to his drumming at the age of 14. I knew nothing about drumming. I knew nothing about Toto. But soon after watching that video, I signed myself up for drum lessons.
Really?
Wow.
That's how enamored I was by Jeff Porcaro. And I was in love with this man. I cannot say this often enough. You ask any of my classmates in secondary school and they will know of my obsession with Jeff Porcaro. This is the man I wanted to marry. Wow. This is the man. Okay, I'm 14, okay? Just let me clarify that.
It's an unusual obsession, wouldn't it?
Very unusual.
It's not like One Direction.
Exactly. You know? No, it's something I can't explain. I think it really was amazing. that groove, that drumming groove that he owned. And all my teenage years, the only thing I wanted to do was to shake the hand of Jeff Porcaro, and I would die a happy person.
Wow.
So Toto came to Singapore for the first time in November of 1992. Jeff Porcaro died in August of 1992,
right,
3 months before their scheduled tour stop in Singapore. He died on the 5th of August, 1992. I was 18 years old. This was in the middle of my A-level exams, right? I went to bed every night crying myself to sleep. I only stopped after I watched Toto in concert in Singapore. That was kind of closure.
That was like a healing for me.
They did come. They still came and they played.
They came with a different drummer.
Right.
But I just thought, how unlucky am I?
That's extraordinary.
I've never known that story about Colette. I knew she liked Toto, but I didn't know that she had this
obsession.
Obsession with the drummer.
Disturbing.
That is an extraordinary story. Partly that I'm surprised that they still continue to play. I'm guessing that wasn't their first gig after he died, was it?
Well, it was probably wasn't their first gig. It was part of their tour. They went because they had just released an album and they'd already scheduled their tour dates. So they kept to it.
Yeah.
Despite the death of Jeff Porcaro, because I think it was 2 months later they started their tour.
Wow.
Without
that's
the big man.
That's remarkable what we find out here on with inspiring interviews and Singapore stories on weekend mornings. But we're about the end of the segment, so we're going to be playing Rosanna in a minute. I'd like both of you to do a little intro to this song.
Come on, show us some drum grooves that you learned from the halftime shuffle.
This song is a song.
Neil,
so in depth.
That's powerful.
No, listen, ladies and gentlemen, I did listen to this song a lot last night. It has the most disturbing video of middle-aged fat men with moustaches I have ever seen.
It's the 80s,
it's
Neil.
Like Waiters.
It was the 80s.
This was written about Rosanna Arquette. Because Steve Porcaro, I think, was either obsessed with her.
No, she was around the band at that time.
She was dating Steve Porcaro at the time. So he wrote this song for her. So that's a little bit of information.
So what else can you tell us?
It has got genuinely great drumming. Okay. This is the groove that he was famous for on this particular song.
So it's from the album Toto 4. This was a Grammy Award-winning song and album. Everybody knows Rosanna. Let's all sing along.
Okay, we're going to sing along. Thank you to Colette Wong for sharing her obsession with Toto. This is Rosanna here on Money FM. We're going to have more from her and Neil shortly.